Your friendly neighbors of the Church of Christ are on the air once again with a program of Bible truth. The current series of broadcasts as we come to you is entitled Bible Teaching for Our Day. And those of you that have been regular listeners to this broadcast know that we've been dealing with some outstanding verses from the momentous Epistle to the Colossians. We want to begin again today in the second chapter of Colossians by going to verse 12, where I think we have a statement that may be familiar to many who are listening today. Paul writes by inspiration of the Holy Spirit in Colossians 2 and 12 in the following manner, "Buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead." This is a very thought-provoking passage because it is one of those passages in the Bible that gives us an insight on baptism that sometimes may be overlooked. It squarely puts baptism, which is an immersion in water in this verse, upon a basis of faith. And I believe that's where it really begins. You'll note here that he's talking about faith in the operation of God. Someone was telling me not too long ago when we were talking about a subject like this, that it's much like the physician that is operating in a hospital. As a surgeon, we recognize that he must have the know-how in performing the operation. As far as the patient is concerned, it's vital, I'm told, that the patient have faith in the surgeon that's performing the operation. Now, oftentimes when we look at baptism, we wonder if it's an operation of man or an operation of God. I've heard people, and I believe they're honest in making this statement, that baptism is simply, we might say, an ordinance of the church, or it simply is an order of the church. And there are others who claim that baptism is an outward show of what really took place on the inside earlier. But those two expressions that are offered by man may come from honest hearts, but I find no authority in the Bible to say that baptism is a church ordinance. Have you ever thought of a passage of Scripture that would sustain that view? Also, the idea that it simply is an outward expression of what has taken place before in the heart or mind is also that which has no foundation in the Scripture. We are aware of the fact that baptism is a commandment. For the Holy Spirit operating through the Apostle Peter when he had preached the gospel to the house of Cornelius in the famous 10th chapter of Acts, in verse 48, he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. The same Apostle Peter, in writing in the 3rd chapter of 1 Peter, and in verse 21, informed the brethren that baptism doth now also save us. So we're led to believe that baptism plays a much greater part than simply being spoken of as an ordinance of the church or simply an outward expression of what has already happened in the life of a person spiritually. We want to say here that the patient must have faith in the one who performs the operation. In this case, when one is baptized into Christ for the remission of his or her sins, it must be a matter of faith that God will do what he promised to do. A lady said to me recently that it was impressive in her mind to recognize the fact that she would know nothing about baptism, immersion in water, if she hadn't read it in the Word of God. So she was accepting the teaching that's found in the Word of God on the subject of baptism, just like she did repentance, just like she did faith, or she did confession. Oftentimes, there may be some reference made in the Great Commission where Christ did refer to baptism. You remember the teaching that's found in Mark 16, 15, and 16, where it was stated by Jesus to his apostles that they should go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, he that believeth not shall be damned. Now the first part of that 16th verse simply states that he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And we would understand that this is an important factor because it points out what has happened to the individual's sins when that person has enough faith in God to be immersed in water. On the day of Pentecost, when the people who had been guilty of murder cried out to Peter and the rest of the apostles and said, "Men and brethren, what must we do?" The apostle Peter in Acts 2:38 simply put baptism in a very select class when he said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." This word "for" in Acts 2:38 means in order to receive remission of sins. You see, both repentance and baptism are spoken of as commandments in the New Testament. We gave you the one on baptism in Acts 10:48 at the house of Cornelius, and in Acts the 17th chapter in the 30th verse, Paul at Mars Hill said, God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. We're aware of the fact that repentance is tied in with not alone baptism here, but with the conversion itself in Acts 3:19, where Peter in another sermon in Jerusalem said, repent and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. But the interesting factor that must be considered is that the Apostle Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament by inspiration, told about his own conversion. And we learn what Paul knew by inspiration regarding immersion in water. He relates his own conversion in a speech in Acts, the 22nd chapter. And if you look at the 16th verse in that outstanding speech, you'll find that he tells about Ananias, the disciple who had been selected by the Lord to go and talk to Paul, came in and said, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. I believe that it is a matter of faith that God will do exactly what he said he would do. Now, interesting is it to be found in this same scripture, in Colossians 2 and 12, that he begins with the idea of being buried with him in baptism. He ends with the matter of having faith in God who raised him from the dead. I'm wondering on the broadcast today if we really have faith that God did raise Christ from the dead. You see, Paul, in the salutation to the Romans, in Romans 1 and 4, put the resurrection of Christ in a very outstanding position. He said that this proved that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. This proved that he was truly the Messiah. And I think you can see on the broadcast today how true that would be. See, there had been other people die upon crosses, even as the two malefactors who died with Jesus. There had been other people, perhaps buried, who did not have a tomb of their own, or at least their body had been thrown on the garbage heap. But when you begin talking about the resurrection from the dead, then you get into altogether a different picture. So the point is that Colossians 2 and 12 mentions about the faith that the Colossians had that God had raised Jesus from the dead. He's also pointing out that there must be faith that when one is buried with the Lord in baptism, in a likeness of his death, that he will come forth in the likeness of the resurrection. This is found taught in the 6th chapter of Romans by Paul in a clear manner, saying, know ye not that as many of us truly who have cast off the old man are those who have been baptized. He tells us that we no longer should serve sin, but we can serve Jesus Christ. Another scripture that shows the valuable point of baptism is Galatians 3:27. It talks previously in this chapter as the law of Moses being the child conductor, or the tutor, or the schoolmaster, to lead God's people unto Christ that they might be justified by faith. And then he says in Galatians 3:27, for as many as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. This indicates to us that one puts on Christ when he or she are immersed into Christ Jesus. I do not know of a scripture that tells us that one puts on Christ by his faith. We do know that in Romans 10 and 10 the book says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. But baptism is spoken of not as unto, but into. Not alone in the 6th chapter of Romans, where it does mention about being baptized into his death, but also again in Galatians 3:27, for as many as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. I'm wondering if you can see with me on the broadcast today how necessary it is to put baptism in the proper category with faith. You see, if a person does not have faith in the Lord, then he would never complete his conversion. I don't believe a person would ever announce with his mouth that he believed Christ was the Son of God without having faith in the Lord. And I can't picture someone being encouraged to turn from sin to serve the Lord unless he believed the teaching that was presented was proper and right and valid. So the point that must be pictured is that in connection with our conversion, it's linked together in every aspect with faith. Notice this today on the broadcast. Paul said in Romans 10:17, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. This is why we preach the word of God, that men might hear it, and that it might be possible that belief or faith would become a part of their life." We're aware of the fact, as we've said, that one truly must believe that he's going the right way if conversion is going to be valid. I am sure if one did not think that he was going the right way, and he had a sincere desire to go the right way, that he would turn, that he would repent and be converted, that his sins might be blotted out. So the point is that repentance begins in the mind. It is based upon the idea that we believe that the teaching is true. And then when this is based on the mind, we understand that confession of faith that must be made with the mouth is the first audible expression that we have regarding our conversion to Christ. And again, that goes to Romans 10:10, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." But in baptism, we have the obedience to a commandment, it is true. But I believe that this is meeting the acid test. Now, going back to that famous commission, where Jesus said in Mark 16:15, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." And now notice the 16th verse in the light of what we're saying. "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Now that's a complete statement. It indicates from the very beginning where one does have faith after hearing to the time that one puts on Christ with his sins forgiven. But the last part of that verse says, "He that believeth not shall be damned or condemned." Someone says, why isn't baptism included in the last part of that verse? Simply from the very fact that if one did not believe the teaching of the Bible, he would not turn from his sins, he would not announce with his mouth what he believed in his heart, and he would never be baptized. So the first part of the verse indicates the truism. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Now the point is that looking at that teaching, we can see why Paul would announce, "Buried with him in baptism, wherein we are risen with him through the faith and the operation of God." You see, this is a birth. A conception has been truly associated with the Spirit of God. There is a coming forth in the spiritual life, just as there are coming forth in the physical life. We understand that life may truly begin before that child is born, before that child emerges upon the scene. But there must be the deposit of the Spirit. And of course, we understand there has to be the seed. It is true in the physical sense. It is true in the spiritual sense. But the fact is that baptism is in a position where one comes forth to walk in newness of life. If we are baptized into Christ, then we put him on. And we understand this to be a vital circumstance. Remember, every account of conversion that we have in the New Testament, picturing the 9 principal accounts in the book of Acts, let us know that people heard the word of God, they truly must have believed it, and they were baptized into Christ. So the Corinthians in Acts 18:8, "hearing, believed, and were baptized," give us a complete span picture in words of what people did to obey the gospel. We urge you on the broadcast today that you put baptism in the proper light. God gave the teaching. It is commanded. It is linked together with the forgiveness of our sins. We trust that you will consider this and obey his word with full faith. We're going to have to leave you on the broadcast today, but be with us again. And remember, your friendly neighbors of the Church of Christ have brought you this broadcast. They invite you to their services. May God bless us all as we obey his marvelous and his wonderful truth.